Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, March 5th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
ZANU-PF dismisses as nonsensical the move by the United States yesterday to maintain its targeted sanctions against Zimbabwe.
But President Mugabe has not changed and is not going to change. If anybody needs to change, it is the American government. The entire Western world is in agreement that these sanctions have failed.
Opposition MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai says local authorities in the country are struggling with lack of revenue, in turn hindering service delivery and other projects.
And it is our responsibility outside central government to ensure that those who have been deployed to manage local government are pursuing social democratic values and agendas of the MDC. And it is our responsibility to supervise them and to find out what their problems are.
And people with disabilities say community members should take the lead in finding solutions to address challenges faced by the disabled in the country.
Any expectations that the United States would follow in the footsteps of the European Union and review or adjust its sanctions on Zimbabwe were dashed yesterday. In keeping with Executive Order 13288 of 2003, where then U.S. President George Bush declared a national emergency on Zimbabwe for undermining democratic practices or institutions, President Barack Obama again issued a notice for continuation of the measures. In the notice, President Obama cited the, quote, unusual and extraordinary threat to foreign policy of the United States by named members of the government of Zimbabwe, who include President Robert Mugabe. However, the U.S.'s continuation of sanctions have come under scrutiny, given the easing of targeted sanctions by the European Union and normalization of relations with the Zimbabwe government by such countries as Britain. In light of that, ZANU-PF Deputy Director of Information and Publicity, Psychology Maziwisa, tells Studio 7's Ndimiake Mwakalele that the continuation of the sanctions by the U.S. on the given basis is nonsensical.
It's absolute and complete hogwash. If anybody poses any threat to anybody, it's the government of America. They've imposed sanctions that have caused enormous damage to our economy, and that is a serious threat to the livelihoods of the ordinary people of Zimbabwe. And we've seen this kind of destruction taking place over a protracted period of time. And of course, we all know why they're imposing these sanctions. They would like government of President Robert Mugabe to be overthrown from power. And we're saying that's not the way of doing things in the 21st century. The entitlement to remove people from power or to elect leaders, especially in Zimbabwe, lies with the people of Zimbabwe.
Now, what do you think it will take on the part of ZANU-PF, on the part of President Mugabe directly, to help change the perspective that that the United States continues to hold on Zimbabwe?
Firstly, these sanctions have not worked in any way because President Mugabe has insisted that he will not compromise the employment policies which, you know, brought about these sanctions in any event. When we embarked on the land reform program, we all saw the punitive measures being imposed on Zimbabwe unlawfully, unjustifiably. But President Mugabe has not changed and is not going to change. If anybody needs to change, it is the American government. The entire Western world is in agreement that these sanctions have failed, and that's why the European Union a few weeks ago reached out to the government of Zimbabwe to say we want really to normalize relations with you.
Does it really matter at this point that the U.S. maintains sanctions on Zimbabwe targeted as they are?
Well, let's stop this suggestion that these sanctions are targeted. They are not. The data is very clear about the reach of these sanctions. They affect the entirety of the population. In respect of whether the renewal of sanctions by the American government changes anything, well, of course, it changes a lot because we were thinking that we're now moving towards the direction of normalizing relations. But it appears that they're unrepentant. It appears that they want to continue with their agenda of effecting a legal regime change in Zimbabwe.
Psychology Maziwisa is the Deputy Director of Information and Publicity for ZANU-PF. However, in defense of the continuation of the sanctions, Shakespeare Hamauswa, lecturer of international relations at Mulungushi University in Zambia, says by maintaining the sanctions, the U.S. is showing consistency.
The morality of the sanctions could be another story. ZANU-PF has always been complaining that the sanctions were not blessed by the UN Security Council. But this could also be regarded as bilateral sanctions between two states. But what I can say is that America is just showing its consistency in terms of its foreign policy. It remains resolute that Mugabe's regime has been violating human rights. That was the basis of the sanctions.
In light of changing relationship with the European Union, does the U.S. have a leg to stand on in terms of its consistency? Because the two seem to be in contradiction.
No, it's not really a big contradiction, because the EU is just expressing the willingness to resolve the impasse that is there between Zimbabwe and EU. But when you look at the reality on the ground, the sanctions are still there, the conditions are still the same. On the issue of whether the sanctions are effective, generally, the sanctions have not been performing well, especially in terms of achieving the intended objectives.
Shakespeare Hamauswa is a lecturer of international relations at Mulungushi University in Zambia. He spoke with Studio 7's Ndimiyake Mwakalielie.
Opposition MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai was in Gweru today as he continued his Meet the People tour through the country's local authorities, most of which are controlled by his party. Tsvangirai interacted with vendors at a number of markets in Gweru, including Ascot, Mukoba, and Mambo. He was accompanied by the mayor of Gweru, Amutendi Kombai. He also visited factory shelves and new vending stalls constructed by the MDC-run council. Speaking after the tour, Tsvangirai said local authorities around the country are facing similar problems, including lack of revenues to fund service delivery and other projects. Meanwhile, tonight, Studio 7's Blessing Zulu is asking the MDC leader questions posed to him from our Facebook platform. Some of the questions will also be directed to Secretary General of MDC Renewal Team, Tendai Biti, and leader of the other MDC, Welshman Ncube. Here is the first part of the interview.
The first one that we have comes from Chofamba Stole, and he says, if you all agree that only a united front can defeat ZANU-PF, what do you see as the biggest hurdle standing in the way of creating such a united front? And are you prepared to do what it takes to put it together well before the next elections?
The question of the big tent was advocated by Morgan Tsvangirai almost a year ago. I'm the one who advocated for national consensus and national convergence to discuss the solution to the national crisis. I have no problem with agreeing on those issues that affect us, and that we converge on, that affects us all, issues of implementation of the constitution, electoral reform, the economy, the issues of institutional reforms, the issue of national resources, the issue of social delivery and all that. I think there is a common theme that cut across political divide that we can all rally behind. The unfortunate thing is that there are some people who are already putting the cart before the horse by declaring they don't want to talk to me, they don't want to cooperate with me, for whatever reasons they have. But those are baseless accusations that have nothing to do with the plight of Zimbabweans. And my motivation at a personal level is that I'll sit down with anyone who wants to see us resolve this issue. I am sure that Zimbabweans are sick and tired of people who are only pursuing their own personal agenda. I have proven beyond any doubt that I'll go beyond this kind of division and that I'll sacrifice even what people consider to be personal issues for the common good.
The second question comes from Jackson Muzivi, who says, why is it that opposition parties always cry foul after the election results but never mobilize the same numbers that throng their pre-election rallies and voted for them to stage a national protest against their stolen votes?
Well, we have remained committed to the democratic process, and the electoral process is a measurement of democracy. Now, we cry foul because it will be blatantly rigged to the extent that there is no measurement. You can't go in an election where there is no voters' roll, where people are not free to air, where people are being frog-marched to elections. And yet, people think that by their numbers, they will be able to overwhelm ZANU-PF rigging machinery. And that's why we go into elections. But this time around, we are saying unless reforms are put in place to our satisfaction, to every participant's satisfaction, then there is no need for us to waste people's time.
Riz Raymond Martin wants to know where you see yourself after 2018.
Well, 2018 is a very important election for the MDC and me in particular. We will make a decision once we have reached that stage. If we succeed, there will be decisions to make. If we fail, there will be decisions to make. And as far as I am concerned, it is about the struggle of the people of Zimbabwe. And all I can appeal is that don't look at the struggle from an individual lens. Let's look at the struggle as a collective.
That was MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for the last interview with Tsvangirai, where we pose questions from some of you Studio 7 listeners.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
people with disabilities say community members should take the lead in finding solutions to address challenges faced by the disabled in the country.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
The most prominent touring circus in the U.S. today said that by 2018, it will end its century-old display of Asian elephants, bowing to growing public concern about how the giant animals are treated. The Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus uses 13 elephants in its three traveling shows to 115 cities a year. For decades, the elephants have been featured in parades as the Ringling Circus arrives in cities and then played prominent roles in the shows.
The U.S. ambassador to South Korea today said he is doing well and in great spirits after an assailant in Seoul slashed him on the face and wrist with a knife. Ambassador Mark Lippert was treated at a hospital and later wrote on Twitter that he and his family were deeply moved by an outpouring of support and that he would soon return to advance U.S.-South Korean relations.
And Liberia says it has released its last confirmed Ebola patient with no new cases reported for more than a week. A Chinese-run Ebola treatment center in the capital, Monrovia, released Beatrice Yadolo today. She told the Associated Press she is one of the happiest persons on Earth today. The World Health Organization says that Liberia reported no new confirmed cases last week for the first time since May of last year.
As the world prepares to commemorate the International Women's Day on Sunday, some Zimbabwean legislators have called for the day to be declared a public holiday to recognize the achievements of women in the political, economic, and social sectors of the country. The motion was moved by Bulawayo Proportional Representative Member Tokozani Kupe, who was supported by the majority of legislators. Bulawayo East legislator Tabita Kumalo tells reporter Standegile Mtlanga, Zimbabwean women are the backbone of the country's development, and declaring the day a holiday will recognize the significance of their contributions.
We want it to be a holiday, not a holiday where people just go home and sit.
it should be a holiday where as women we stand up in our countries. For example, there is debt all over Zimbabwe. It is a day for us as women to go out there in the streets, clean our cities, clean our residential areas, to show the people how important it is for a woman to be given a day where she does not do the normal chores that she has to do, but she's working for the nation.
So we also understand that some legislators differed on the need to set the day aside, arguing that it is detrimental to economic production. Isn't there an alternative to honoring women other than making this day a holiday?
There's nothing detrimental. First and foremost, 52% of the population of Zimbabwe are women. And secondly, we are the only people that are only seen in queues looking for food, crossing borders to try and make money. We are the same persons that put our heads on the block to make sure our family survives. So surely we should be given that one single day to at least show the world what we are made of. You empower a woman, you empower a country.
Mm-hmm. That was Bulawayo East legislator Tabitha Khumalo on the line with Studio 7 from Harare. Studio 7's Sandra Nyaira caught up with lawmaker Paulina Gwanyanya Mpariwa, who also seconded the motion, for her take on the debate.
I think it is important that from time immemorial, Zimbabwe has been commemorating the Day of the International Women, and without any specific measures being taken or implemented by the government. We are 35 years into independence. We have been negotiating for rights, like for workers. We have been negotiating for rights, like for other specific areas in the form of the human being per se. We have had holidays, which are 12 days in the Zimbabwean calendar. But you would find in those days, there is no specific date that has been dedicated for women. And hence we are saying, because we constitute 52% of the population. And when the majority of the population is marginalized, no nation can celebrate freedom and independence when the rest of the country is not actually independent. This is why we are calling for a holiday specifically targeted or dedicated for women. Because if you look at the country, 80% of the work is actually carried out by women. Why am I saying so? You see a woman fetching wood in the rural areas. The land is tilled by the women. You can also dedicate this day celebrating the success of women actually carrying the men who are now turning to be leaders and oppressing the women. We haven't come out of the womb of a woman. And we are saying only one day we will not do any harm. We are demanding this when we have actually attended the chairmanship of the SADC. We are talking at this moment when we have also attained the AU chairmanship, and Zimbabwe can actually demonstrate its commitment and dedication in terms of women's rights and the dedication in terms of emancipation for the woman when they have actually targeted one day per year in a month to celebrate the successes, the failures for the women's development.
And how would you say this motion was received by your colleagues, you know, across the political floor and also by men in general?
Yes, it was overwhelmingly applauded by both sides, save for here one or two, you know, understanding differs. But actually, across the political divide, everybody appreciated. And there was unanimous agreement that we need to set aside one day to celebrate International Women's Day as a public holiday. Because yes, we have been celebrating, but there is no specific holiday targeted for women. I believe that come next week when we actually wind up on the motion before the minister responds to the motion, we will be able to actually have achieved that it has been declared a holiday. And we are still lobbying the men, the women, and the girls and the boys in Parliament. And the Speaker of Parliament was very supportive in terms of the motion being one of the priority in motion in Parliament, to the extent that it was turned to be number one on the order paper when it was actually on order number 13.
Any other countries in the region that have declared International Women's Day as a public holiday, would you happen to know?
Oh, yes. Seychelles has declared one day in October. We have Botswana, we have Zambia, we have Malawi, we have South Africa. So as chair of SADC, as chair of AU, we should lead by example.
And I understand that women from all over the world are gathering in New York. This is like 20 years after Beijing to look at women's issues. As Zimbabwe, I know you're also going to represent the country there. What are you looking at? What are your expectations that you need to come out of this meeting?
Sandra, our expectation as a delegation from Zimbabwe, you know, we are coming from the constitutional making process which has been adopted by Parliament. We are looking at the reforms that will actually popularize the areas where the women's rights are actually to be picked up, and we then turn them into statutory instruments in order for the women's agenda to be moved forward. That's number one. Number two is actually for us to share what we have achieved, what were the problems, and how other countries have actually overcome the problems that Zimbabwe is actually bemoaning. But also to share experiences with other African countries, European countries, the Americas, and others.
And that was lawmaker Porina Gwanyanyambariwa on the line with Studio 7 from Harare.
People with disabilities say community members should take the lead in finding solutions to address challenges faced by the disabled in the country. Safari Njema has details from Harare.
People with disabilities say genuine community participation is the key to finding lasting solutions to problems they encounter on a day-to-day basis. For example, Program Officer for the National Council of Physically Disabled Persons of Zimbabwe, Simbarashe Mukanganise, says gardening projects for the disabled in Tanda, Duze, and St. Michael's in Mondoro.
We witnessed the change in terms of positive attitudes towards persons with disabilities after having interacted with the local chief and having talked to him about the need to actually realize people with disabilities as equal citizenships. He then gave what we call the former rest camp. It's a piece of land that has got buildings. During the times of war, this place was used to train soldiers. So we've got infrastructure that is already standing, and it was not being utilized by members of the community.
Mukanganise says community participation promotes shared responsibility and sustainability for projects for the disabled in rural communities.
Members of the communities who are not disabled were actually saying they were going to help persons with disabilities to run these projects. So you have an issue where if the community is changed to have a positive mind, there is this whole ownership of projects and ownership of the need to actually make the environment suitable for persons with disabilities.
32-year-old Josphat Ganya is an amputee with an artificial leg. Josphat, who comes from Brown Village in the Mount Darwin resettlement area, is studying for a diploma in electrical power at Harare Polytechnic. He says people in communities should work together to change negative attitudes that discourage some people who are able-bodied from assisting the disabled.
If you brush out the mind of ignorance and focus to our children or our members around the community and help them to sustain their life in a good condition, either you support them with the talents, they can live a better life.
44-year-old Tongai Chinaire from Dzivaresekwa is visually impaired and walks with the aid of a white cane. He says when able-bodied people work closely with those with disabilities, they will understand them better and know what assistance to give them.
The community has to understand what has to be done. Through knowledge, should work together with one who is blind. It is my appeal to the community to understand all the problems that are faced by blind people so as to avoid negligence.
The call for community participation in disability projects is supported by celebrated playwright, actor and theatre director Konti Mhlanga. For the past 14 years, he has been working on a theatre project to influence community attitudes towards people with disabilities. In one of his productions, Kont, who is the founder of Amakosi Theatre Productions, requested local people to host disabled actors at their homes for a couple of days so that they would also experience the challenges faced by people with disabilities.
There we got impact, because now it was drama, yes, but it's what we call reality drama, right? Now, this is real, you know, because those people are just coming there to explore rural life and then they leave. But they're living with disabilities. They're not even talking about their disabilities. But you have to serve them food every day. You have to take them to the toilet. You have to, you know what I mean? Because you're hosting them. you have to take them to a bus, you have to, you know, they themselves, because they are doing reality drama, they keep demanding in that family, you know, things that are extreme.
Quant says more impact was achieved when influential people within the community, like headmen, health workers, caregivers and extension officers, were involved in the productions.
And that we found very effective, theatre for community change. And then we would call everybody, thank the community for supporting them. You can imagine this young actress who was in a wheelchair going to fetch water in a normal borehole in the village. It's just like everyone there in that community got shocked, and they started to, everyone trying to help her, you know what I mean? But they didn't even realize that they were part of the drama. You know, they were thinking, this is just a visit, you know, and the person is busy recording, and she's not even talking about herself. All she wants is water here.
An icon within the Zimbabwean student debate movement in universities, polytechnics and teachers' colleges, Innocent Batsani Ncube, says conversations with disability themes will enable communities to reflect on problems facing people with disabilities.
It's not only about putting the issues of disability on the agenda, but it's also creating space for young people within the colleges and even outside, those who are living with disability, to be able to also be given the same platform to debate, need to go beyond even what kind of language are we using. How can we be able to transform a debate to speak to people who use sign language? Because language in itself is not just about debating in English.
Ncube adds, community participation in disability projects will make a huge difference in the way people with disabilities are living in the country. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, I am Safari Njema.
And now an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
After more than a year and a half working to find a path to lasting peace and economic prosperity in Africa's Great Lakes region, U.S. Special Envoy Russell Feingold is stepping down. Named to the post in July 2013, Mr. Feingold previously spent 18 years as a member of the U.S. Senate representing the state of Wisconsin. As a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, he took a great interest in African affairs, preparing him for helping deal with issues troubling the nations of Rwanda, Burundi, Uganda, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. Many of these crises remain, and the United States is committed to continuing to devote sustained, high-level attention to the Great Lakes region. Important elections will be held in Burundi and the DRC. The rebel movement, FDLR, continues to threaten Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. So the stability of the Great Lakes region remains a priority of U.S. foreign policy, and a new U.S. Special Envoy will be named to continue Mr. Feingold's work. During his service, he helped lead the International Envoy's participation in the Kampala talks and their contribution to the resolution of the M23 rebellion. He helped drive the international community's renewed focus and commitment to ending the threat of the FDLR, which has produced an international and regional consensus that now is the time for the DRC and the UN peacekeeping mission to the DRC to neutralize the threat of this group. He also fostered, improved, and expanded U.S. relations with Angola, which included a trip by the Secretary of State there last May. And he launched the Great Lakes to Great Lakes Initiative, bringing together regional and international experts, academics, and government officials to discuss environmental concerns, ecoterrorism, and preservation of African Great Lakes. These and other efforts demonstrate our nation's continued commitment to stand with the people of the Great Lakes region as they work to stabilize and advance their nations.
And that was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when Praxidis Jeremiah and Marvelous Mhlanganyawie will lead discussions on the Women's Forum about text messages and WhatsApp and how this is leading to the breakdown of the family structure.
And now to recap today's top stories.
ZANU-PF dismisses as nonsensical the move by the United States yesterday to maintain its targeted sanctions against Zimbabwe.
Opposition MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai says local authorities in the country are struggling with lack of revenues, in turn hindering service delivery and other projects.
And people with disabilities say community members should take the lead in finding solutions to address challenges faced by the disabled in the country.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And I'm Chris Kande, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.